ready to get and stay fit? Welcome to Fit Positive Confident with Dr. Gordon, where the focus is on your whole person health, physical, mental, and spiritual. Because your health can be affected by so many factors, Dr. G covers a range of topics in this program, from eating healthy to world-shaping events. So relax and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Today in the studio, a good friend of mine, Chris Romero, is back with us. He has been on this program a while back. And Chris, welcome back.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much, man. I mean, you and I talked, did several shows about herbs and diet and so on. And today we want to hit on basically three topics. And the first one is sleep.
Yes.
So, you know, by the way, folks, this is called Fit Positive Confident. This is both a radio show on a bunch of radio stations across the country and also a podcast. You can find it on, on any podcast platform that's out there, like Spotify or Google or Apple or whatever. I don't even know, but I know it's out there. So, Fit Positive Confident. So, Chris, you know, for people who don't know you, and who don't know your story, you started diving into researching health because you wanted to improve your own health. Can you go over that a little bit?
Yeah. So
just give us kind of an overview of what's happened with you in your life.
Absolutely. So I started having health problems decently at an early age, around the age of like 18, 19.
That's really not a good time to. Nobody gets sick at 18, do they?
You know, it happens, but it seems to be getting common more, you know, recently. But it shouldn't be happening, not to someone that young. But I was. I started having random pains all over my body. Mainly started with the chest. Went in. They did, you know, blood work. They thought maybe it was like rheumatoid arthritis. You know, they did EKGs. Measuring my heart, no inflammation. But as it would.
Did they ever give you the name for whatever it was ailing you?
No, they never did. The closest thing they could label to was fibromyalgia, is what one doctor thought.
But you never got the official diagnosis for that?
No.
So they did. So basically, you started having all kinds of pains and aches. I just want everybody to understand this clearly.
Absolutely.
You went to see a doctor, and they said it could be this, it could be that. They couldn't figure out what it was, and they didn't really heal you.
Well, yeah, they kind of left me with no solid, satisfying answers. And so,
did they try giving you some pills or medications or?
No, they did not.
Did they just say, "Hey, Chris, this is all in your head. Go home."
No, they did not say that. No, basically, so when it came to the chest pains, you know, they measured it. They couldn't figure it out. You know, they didn't prescribe me anything. When it came to other doctors, as it progressed and the pain spread throughout my body, they said maybe fibromyalgia. They did recommend, you know, swimming, you know, which it's true. There are studies backing up that swimming does help with fibromyalgia, you know, certain therapies like that, you know, but it wasn't no medication. They didn't offer no medication. So they kind of did leave me hanging, you know. And so they left me to myself. And so then I started like just searching for my own answers and doing my own research. I think I mentioned this lady before. I came across a woman on YouTube named Vicki Peterson, Dr. Vicki Peterson.
Okay.
And she basically just saying it might be a gluten intolerance. Not that I'm allergic to gluten, but just it's built up an intolerance. And so.
So basically, at this point, you're Googling stuff.
Yeah, pretty
much.
This
is not what everybody's doing. Instead of going to a doctor, they're just Googling their symptoms. And
hey, I mean, if the doctor's not helping, you know, you got to sometimes take, you know, into your own hands.
And lucky for us, nowadays, the Google and all of that other stuff is available, so you can do a quick search.
No, it is. What a time to be alive in the information age.
But it could, I mean, to be fair, it could also lead you down the wrong path.
Absolutely. No, it's a. You gotta sort through it, you know, you got to sort through the information.
Because people will read something and think, oh, this is the answer to all of my problems. And if you look into it deeper, it could be having all kinds of side effects too.
True. And so when I dealt with my ordeal, I had to kind of go with it with the scientific approach. You know, you start with the hypothesis.
Okay.
You know, and you ask a question, you know. So you start trying things, you know, to change my diet, see, okay, how am I feeling now? You know, I've cut out this, you know. We'll start with the bread and see how that feels. You know, after 2 weeks got by, okay, 2 weeks I'm feeling pretty good. You know, the pain's gone down. And so I started noticing by taking that out of my diet, it helped. And then it made me realize what, you know, how important what we put in our body is, you know, and how what we put into it will make us feel. And so being more, it allowed me to be more in tune, you know, going through this.
Okay.
And so I started making changes to the diet, but I really didn't hit satisfactory results until I got into the herbology, you know, and researching Dr. Sabi, who I've mentioned as well before.
Okay, so the first lady that you mentioned, her name was?
Dr. Vicki Peterson.
So what does she have of value for you?
To be more aware of my diet, and basically it was of a gluten intolerance. And basically...
So you start experimenting with it?
Yeah, no, I just eliminated it from my diet and just see how I would feel.
And how did that go?
It went decent. Like, it actually helped quite a bit. It really did.
So you eliminated gluten from your diet?
Yes.
And you start feeling better. How long did this take?
This was about like a 1 year process to 2 year process. But amongst all this, after I came across her, I kept doing research and I'd come across other healers. One of them I came across is Dr. Gerson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever heard that name before.
Sure.
That's a famous healer out of California. But they basically went through a method of four things where you just incorporate vegetables. It's a mainly vegetarian diet. You're going to use supplements like D3, CoQ10, stuff like that, as well as juicing, fresh juices, and the fourth one being an enema, because you're having to cleanse yourself out of everything.
Okay.
Now, from my understanding of what I've researched, they have like a 70% success rate when it comes to certain diseases like cancer.
Wow.
So, I mean, which is pretty decent. And so, but, so I was, as I was coming across this other information, this made me, once again, you know, become more attuned and aware of what I was putting in my body. So I started, you know, paying attention to the meat, you know, started, you know, juicing, making sure I'm getting my juicing in and, you know, just, yeah, be more aware.
Okay.
But yeah, so then Dr. Sabi.
So you had two doctors before you and found him online.
Yes.
And you started applying the stuff that those two were talking, namely, the first one was get rid of the gluten, and the second one was go vegetarian and start juicing and do some supplements.
Yes.
So then, so this is like you're evolving your practices,
yeah.
Your health practices,
right?
I was trying
things out. I was going to find a solution.
So then you find Sabi.
Yes. Well,
by the way, all of these names are known. I think people know who, yeah, Sabi is and Gerson, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty well known amongst...
Right.
Yeah.
Amongst people who are looking for natural healers.
Yes.
Okay.
And so Sabi was all about the herbs. And that...
So at this point, you felt that you have your diet figured out, right?
Well, not necessarily, because I was... You know, because when you stumble across Sabi, you'll figure out it's the whole alkaline acidic paradigm. That's the whole paradigm he stresses. And that even comes to vegetables, because some vegetables fall under that paradigm. Some are acidic, like, mm-hmm, a pineapple. You know, I remember one time eating a pineapple, and it was so acidic, it was making my lips bleed.
Wow.
It was...
Well, how much did you eat? Gee.
I mean, still, you know.
I mean, so, you had to eat a lot of that stuff to make your lips bleed.
It was, I don't know. I don't think it was that much. I think it was a decent amount. It was when I was a kid. And so, but I don't think I was overindulging. I might have been, but I don't think I was.
You were. If you were bleeding, man, you were overindulging.
But some foods could be acidic.
Okay.
And some foods could be alkaline or fall more towards that spectrum. And so that's when it came to my diet, when I came across that, that's when I started actually really seeing major results. And so
after you figure this part out.
Yes.
So by now you're eating vegetarian diet, you're doing some supplements, but you're not really aware of acidic versus the alkaline.
Yes.
So this becomes like an eye-opener for you.
Correct.
Okay. Well, look, let's take a quick little break here and then come back and continue talking about this journey of yours that you went on.
It's good.
Back in the studio with Chris Romero, a man who knows more about herbs than I do.
Hey.
No, actually, I think you know a lot about herbs. That's become one of your specialties, isn't it?
No, it has become a passion. It really has.
All right. So we are talking to Chris about his health journey. And just to recap for those of you who didn't hear the first part, you started feeling sick. Doctors couldn't help you. You had pain all over your body. You started doing your own research. You found a healer by the name of, remind me, the first one.
Vicki Peterson.
Vicki Peterson, and then you become aware of gluten.
Yes.
You eliminated that from your diet.
Correct.
And then you found another doctor, Gerson.
Yep, Dr. Gerson, correct.
And he made you aware of vegetarian diet and supplements.
Yep, along with juicing.
And juicing. And then, and so this is all taking like a whole year, the whole process.
5 years.
5 years.
5 year process.
And then at one point you come across Dr. Sabi.
Yes.
Who is also somebody online and who also has, you know, his methodology for helping people improve their health. What did he contribute to your research?
The main thing, out of the few main things, the first one that he harps on would be alkalinity versus acidic, and the importance of how, when it comes to the foods we put in our body, we really need to put more alkaline.
How do we know easy which one is which?
Well, you could Google his list, and he does have a list online. I'll be upfront, it's not a very satisfactory list, because it takes away, like, out of all the nuts, like, walnuts are, like, the most best choice, especially black walnuts if possible. Mm-hmm. You know, so that eliminates a lot of other ones, and so, but it is effective from when I incorporated it.
Meat, is meat acidic or alkaline?
Acidic.
What about fruits?
They could fall in the alkaline spectrum, but like just like pineapple, they can also fall in the acidic.
So you have to know which ones are which.
Yeah, you got to do a little bit of research.
So a typical American diet, acidic or alkaline?
Very acidic.
Because walk me through that.
Okay. So when we look at what things we eat that are acidic, one of the major forms of it is sugar.
Okay.
And sugar comes in many forms. There's single, from my understanding, single cell to double cell, all the way to your complex sugars, which fall into your starches.
Okay.
When it comes to the vegetable kingdom, the real starchy ones is what's not recommended because that starch is sugar.
So we're talking about potatoes, for example.
Yes, potatoes, corn, rice. Well, not all rice, because some rice is healthier than other rice.
Okay.
Like black rice. Black rice is very nutritious compared to
white rice.
Yes, correct. And so that would fall under the category along with meat being acidic. Meat falls under that category.
So we combine those ingredients, right, in American diet?
Yeah.
Meat and potatoes.
I mean, yeah, I still eat meat and potatoes, if I'm honest.
So that's acidic.
It is.
And can you continue to eat acidic foods and then balance it out with something else? Or take a pill to water down the acidity?
That word balance, I believe, is key. I mean, even from an early age, they what's that, how the phrase go? To have a balanced diet, you know, to where you can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, some things are just necessary in general. Just like when the pirates were crossing over,
sure,
they needed the lemons. That way they got the vitamin C. And so just like today, it's no different. We need vitamin C.
Okay.
You know, we need our fruits and vegetables.
So you got to mix those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was the effect of you finding on your health when you found out the difference between acidic and alkaline from Dr. Sabi? What did you do next, and how did that whole thing go?
So I did start incorporating more alkaline herbs along with alkaline foods. The foods that I mainly incorporated was chickpeas. I incorporated chickpeas as something that would fill me up. That's more towards that spectrum of the healthier beans. A lot of black rice.
Okay.
There's another thing called wild rice. It's technically not rice, but it's a long grain.
Is that an American thing, isn't it?
Yes, it grows by the Great Lakes, correct.
Okay.
But that's a really good grain, along that I eat with black rice.
So what's called wild rice.
Yes.
That grows by Great Lakes. Didn't Indians used to eat that?
Yes, they did.
Back in the day?
Yes.
Okay, and then black rice.
Yes. Black rice is just another one, yep.
And which peas? You said chickpeas?
Chickpeas.
Yeah. Are they good? How do they taste, man? I don't know.
So I like them. Now, I love hummus. I don't know if you've ever had hummus or...
Yeah.
I'm trying to... The falafel balls.
Sure.
Like, those are made... Those are chickpeas.
Okay.
Now, sometimes a good falafel, they season it with garlic, which can be acidic, you know, but... You could, if you do it yourself, you could do it.
You don't have to go crazy on garlic.
No, you don't have to, but it is delicious.
Okay. So once you started incorporating this into your meals,
you can feel a difference. I felt more of a clarity when it came to my thinking, as well when it came to my energy. It was definitely noticeable.
What about the pain that you had that originally got you to start researching everything in the first place?
So that mainly shifted and stopped, or should I say, because I do have spouts, and I notice that I do have spouts when I eat really bad. But for the most part, it stopped. That all stopped. That point was when I took his intracellular cleansing kit. And those are just basically his pills that he sells that contain certain herbs, and it's a cleanse. So you're gonna eat that alkaline diet while taking herbs, which are purposely meant for cleansing, and that will help you sustain while you shed a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did that cleanse, I did it twice. I did it last year, and I did it the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But last year when I mainly did it is when I mainly felt a difference to where I got it down under control, to where I'm eating whatever I want again.
Okay, so you did the cleanse so you can eat whatever you wanted again?
Well, I not to do it, just to experiment, like, because I felt really amazing afterward, and so I just wanted to see how I felt.
Okay.
And
so basically, you can do this. You can do a good cleanse, get back to being in really good shape, and then you can cheat a little bit. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay. On that note, let's take a break and be right back. All right. This is Fit Positive Confident. We are on a podcast platforms and also on number of radio stations. In the studio with me today, Chris Romero, and we are talking about his health journey. And I heard you talk a little bit in these first 20 minutes about your health journey. At this point in your life, I think more you would say that you have your health under control.
I do.
Where you want it?
Yes, I'm happy.
So now you're focusing more on energy levels, the quality of sleep.
Yeah, I guess fine-tune or refine, you know, certain things that I'm cutting myself short on.
So talk about that. You were going to tell us about sleep a little bit.
Yeah, so one thing I'm trying to work on is just get better sleep, because I've noticed that I don't have insomnia, but I'll fall asleep and then I'll wake up and then I'll have somewhat of a hard time going back to sleep,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I wouldn't call it insomnia, but more maybe my mind, you know, just thoughts and, you know.
Your mind is racing.
Yeah, just, you know, getting my mind under control. And so, you know, I've been trying to figure out better ways to do it, whether it's herbal ways, because, you know, there are, you know, one thing I came across was an herb called valerian to help a person sleep.
Does it work?
Absolutely.
Valerian?
Valerian root, specifically.
Do you make tea or do you take a pill?
No, I believe if you go to the health food store, they do sell it in capsules. Me, personally, I like getting the whole root and making my own tea. So that's how I normally do it.
So valerian root, you can find it, I suppose, in different health stores?
Yeah, no, they do sell, like, natural grocers over here, Sprouts. You can also find it online. Definitely, you can even find it on Amazon, guaranteed.
You can probably grow your own if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I grew my own 1 year.
Do you?
I did, yes.
So that helps?
Yes. No, I have been trying to incorporate the tea. Sometimes, not all the time, not to become, you know, dependent, but, you know, just, you know, when I feel those nights to where, I have more energy and I'm not as tired as normal, whatever the reason may be, I notice that does help.
What do you think are the causes of people having bad sleep?
So, I mean, number one would be we live in the technology age,
mm-hmm.
and the light, the blue light, I know definitely is one of them.
How does that really work? I mean, I hear that, but what does that, do something to your brain or what?
From my understanding, it doesn't allow you to get hit REM sleep the way you're supposed to, fast enough. And so I know there's a lot of apps, or even on the iPhone, though there's a switch you can hit that it'll put the red filter on. That way you can still look at your screen and only get that red light. And so I guess there is science behind it. I have been trying to limit my technology as hard as it is. At least I'm starting off at least with like a half an hour to where I personally just try to just put it all down.
Including the TV?
Everything. Anything that's,
I wonder if they're building TV with a red hue or whatever that is, red filter.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. You never know.
Because people are going to have a heck of a time trying to give up their gadgets.
They are. No, we're addicted. No lights. That's one of humanity's new problems.
So that's one of the things. I have another friend who keeps telling me that he and his wife, they turn everything off for at least an hour before bed.
Yeah, I probably need to shoot for an hour. That would probably be the way to go, honestly.
Okay, so technology, what else interferes?
For me personally, I noticed with my job is physical. And so those days when I'm really active and I get a good workout,
mm-hmm.
I'm satisfied by the end of the day.
Okay.
And so, but sometimes I do have to do paperwork.
Okay.
And I'm sitting down the majority of the day. And I could tell when nighttime comes, I still have built up energy. And so I know sometimes that's a problem, is just not having an outlet and, you know, wearing yourself out enough that way you could get a good night's rest.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting when we work really, really hard, we sleep really good.
Absolutely.
When we get exhausted. But we also live, in a not just technological society, but we live in a couch society, you know, where life is easy.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Yeah, no, and that right there kind of leaves sometimes our mind to think, and that kind of, you know, another thing I've been trying to work on is, you know, my stress. You know.
Okay. So, but because that's all interconnected, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
So it almost sounds to me like we end up in this vicious cycle where we don't work out really hard all day, and then we still have plenty of energy at night, and then your brain is racing, and then you're watching your gadgets and your TVs, and then you're eating the wrong diet, and your brain is just, and by the time midnight rolls around, you can't fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it happens.
So how did you fix it?
So when it comes to my sleeping, I am trying to stress less. One thing I've been trying is certain adaptogens. Now, an adaptogen is an herbal supplement that literally helps a person work with stress.
Okay.
And recover from stress. The one that I've been taking that I've been favoring a lot is reishi mushroom.
How do you take that?
So they sell it in a powder form. Sometimes they do sell it in capsules. I do take the powder. I just do a teaspoon in water, mix it, slam it back.
How does it taste?
Like dirt.
Okay, dirt is okay. I can handle dirt.
Yeah. That one I take regularly.
And does it really help?
It helps me. I'll be honest. Like, to me, I believe it does. It does.
With stress?
Yes, absolutely.
When do you take it? What time of day?
So I try and take it with my coffee in the morning. Sometimes I'd want my coffee without it because I don't want that dirt flavor. And so sometimes I'll be taking it afternoon. But it'll be a toss-up between the two, either morning or afternoon.
Well, coffee jacks you up, and then this stuff brings you down. Should you be taking both at the same time?
So the reason why I started doing this is because it tastes like dirt. It's a more pleasing way. It's kind of like to blend it with the coffee.
Okay.
You'll come across certain products on the internet like mud water, and it's a coffee with mushrooms in it. So I thought I'd try that method since I heard about it, and it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
What's the easiest way to take that powder? Is it with coffee?
For you? It does help taste-wise. I mean, that's why I do it. Like, it does help taste-wise. But, I mean, if you really just can handle it, just mix it in water, just slam it back. I mean, because I do that.
Yeah. And then be done with it, and that's it.
Just keep it going.
Wash your mouth, move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so reishi, right?
Reishi. Another one that I tried that is decent is Rhodelia rosea, or also known by rose root, has many names. That's an adaptogen, and that one helped me a lot. When I was actually going like through a really, really stressful moment, I went and bought some pills, and I thought I'd give it a try, and actually, it helped a lot.
Rose root?
Rhodelia rosea is the Latin, but yes, it's also known by rose root.
Rhodelia rosea.
Yes.
Okay.
And, like I said, when I was going through a really stressful...
But you don't do it, like, every day.
No. Not that one, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do the mud one every day.
I do the reishi mushroom more regular, yes. I try to do my mushroom, yes.
And then you take rose root as needed.
Correct.
When things just go nuts.
Yeah, when I'm dealing with a really stressful moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
When it comes to that, sometimes people recommend ashwagandha. I haven't had too much experience with that root. From what I have read, though, like in studies, I have heard it does help with like brain inflammation. And even if my brother, he took it, and he says it's pretty decent.
Okay.
So, but I personally haven't had an experience with ashwagandha. But other ones that are adaptogens, I believe holy basil falls into that. And I do, I make teas. That's another thing that I do is I make teas. And so
basil also probably tastes horrible as a tea, doesn't it?
It's.
I'm guessing here.
You know, it's a popular thing in like India. They call it Tulsi. I enjoy it. You know, it's kind of falling like on the minty border, but it's
okay.
It's a really good plant. It helps with acne. It helps with intestinal worms. It boosts your immune system up 15%.
So that's not too bad then.
No, it's actually, I'd recommend it.
Okay. We got to take another break, Chris.
All right.
Okay, folks, we're going to take another break and be back with Chris Romero for more on the herbs. All right, The Herbalist is here, Chris Romero. We are talking about, you talked about sleep, now stress and energy. We got covered that in the last 10 minutes.
All right, so when it comes to energy, most doctors or natural healers will tell you to get it from your food, which is absolutely number one.
Okay.
And greens are always highly recommended just because they contain, you know, things like vitamin C, the high mineral content.
Is there a difference between, like, are there foods that are going to make you groggy and take away energy versus the foods that will actually give you energy?
Yeah, no, absolutely, because people can overload themselves, you know, on carbs, and that makes people feel sluggish. Sometimes even certain meats, you know, can make a person feel lethargic.
So overloading is the number one reason for getting...
Yeah, I would say that's the main.
For having lack of energy.
Yeah, overloading, I would say not giving yourself... Because there's certain things that we need that we like, omega-3s and 6s. You know, our bodies can't produce that. Mm-hmm, we have to get that from another source.
Okay.
And so there's only few, there's not that many sources that are high. You could deal with certain meats and stuff like that, with salmon being the highest.
Right.
You know, but there's also plants that are very much more healing, like purslane, you know, which is a weed that grows in people's garden and yet has almost as much omega-3. As the salmon.
The name is purslane?
Purslane.
Purslane.
Yes.
P-U-R-S-E? Is it like purse, like women's purse?
Yeah, P-U-R-S-L-A-N-E is how you would spell it.
Purslane.
I believe in the Latin portulaca or Luraceae, if I'm remembering that correctly. But that plant is amazingly beneficial.
And you can grow it yourself.
It's a weed. Guarantee you, I found it growing in the church bed last summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to see that sucker.
Yeah, no, it's...
I want to grow a whole bunch of those.
I guarantee you could probably find it in your yard.
Okay. So spell it again. Purslane.
Yeah, P-U-R-S-L-A-N-E.
A-N-E, purslane.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to have to take a look, find a picture of it.
Yeah. And so some things, you know, we can't produce, you know, like that would offer omega-3s. If I could recommend any green that someone would try to incorporate in their diet, I would probably say stinging nettle.
Stinging nettle.
Stinging nettle.
Okay.
That has an extremely high nutrient profile.
Where do you find it?
Now, that is also a weed, believe it or not. It does sting you if you were to touch it. It has these little like hypodermic stingers.
So you have to steam it or what?
Yeah, you could dry it. You could get rid of them that way.
Okay.
If not that, yes, absolutely. Boil them. I boil mine. I try to boil mine. And
then you can chew on them and not get stung?
Yeah. You could also make it to a tea. Like, I sometimes make a tea out of it, but you can use it as a green, you know, just boil it, and then I saute it, you know, cut up some onions, and sometimes I add in turkey bacon, no lie. It does make it taste a lot better. No lie.
Anything with bacon makes it better, right?
Turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon, okay. Turkey bacon is good.
Yeah, just keep it, you know, to a minimum.
Yeah. Don't go overboard, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so what else? So all of these are good for for energy, right?
Correct. Those would give you what you need, vitamin C and the mineral content. I personally take sea moss along to boost to make sure I get all my minerals.
Sea moss?
Sea moss.
In a natural form you take it, or pill, or for?
They sell pills, and they do sell, other ways you could take it. I personally take by my own and process my own. I buy it raw, soak it overnight, rinse it, then I blend it up and make a paste out of it, and then I just, down it.
Yeah. And that gives you a lot more minerals than you would get otherwise.
I would say minerals and energy. My grandpa had a lady who was taking care of her, and I offered some to her, and she tried and went home, and then she ended up texting me saying, what you gave me, I have a lot of energy. What did you give me again? And I was like, it's sea moss. And so
So basically the point that you're making is that if you give yourself plenty of minerals and vitamins, that's what creates energy.
If you give your body what you need.
Not necessarily the proteins and sugars and all of that other stuff.
Yeah, the acidicness will definitely wear you down. And you do got to watch of anything that you eat that's processed, unfortunately. That's just, the climate we're living in.
Well, I'm assuming anybody who listens to this program are not going to eat processed foods, and they're not going to eat the GMO foods.
I mean, if I'm honest, we all get caught slipping.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But I mean, I mean intentionally, you know.
Yeah, no, sometimes, you're just around, you're just somewhere and the food's there. And.
Yeah. No, I get it. Okay, so anything else? We got a couple of more minutes. Anything else as far as energy goes?
Purslane, stinging nettle, sea moss. If I could recommend something people try, is look into black seed oil. When you do look into it, be cautious, though. Some people don't respond to it good. My mom didn't respond to it good. You probably want to try taking low amounts when you first try it. But if you do type it in Google and you look at the studies behind it, it's very healthy. It's very anti-inflammatory, anti-cancerous, high in omega-3s and omega-6s. It's found in the tombs of Egyptian pharaohs. That's how much they revered it, because they wanted to take it to them, to the afterlife.
Black seed oil?
Black seed oil.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but the bottom line is you're saying anytime you try any of this stuff, go easy at first.
Well, the foods, you should be okay. Some things you should be able to eat as much as you want. Like dandelions, you can eat as much as you want, burdock root. But there are some things you do obviously have to, look into and check.
Okay. Well, Chris, it's good having you here. I'm glad your health has improved so much.
I'm happy too.
And we're going to come back and maybe do more on herbs and give people some more resources that they can use and practice in their life.
Sounds good.
All right, folks. God bless. Fit, positive, confident. Bye-bye.
Be sure to tune in next time for another unique perspective on your whole person health with your host, Dr. G. And don't forget to share the goodness with friends and family and visit our website at fitpositiveconfident.tv and follow Dr. G on Twitter at Dr. G Fitness. God bless and stay healthy.